Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Your Health is in Your Hands, the radio show of the Kalyana Center in beautiful Narberth, Pennsylvania. I'm Dr. John Carmichael. I'm one of your co-hosts this afternoon, and I'm here with Nick Colasanti, my friend and colleague at the Kalyana Center and hypnotherapist and counselor. How are you, Nick?
Good afternoon, Dr. J. How are you?
Fine. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you, too. I mean, it's great. So this is exciting, as always, to do a show with you when we do these things. We talk about a lot of good stuff, and I know today's going to be no exception to that. So you doing all right?
Yeah, you know, I am doing great. You know, I just taped a television show. I don't know if you're aware of that, but I taped a television show about for local television with Ruth Weisberg Philly, and we taped about 2 weeks ago, and it aired on December 7th. And the topic was the holiday season, and, you know, is it really a jolly, happy time for everyone? And I thought that would be a good topic for our show today. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today for our listeners, because I think it's an important topic, a good one for December, you know, as we're in the midst of the holiday season. And, you know, it's just, I think, acknowledging that it's not a happy time for all people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and what can we do about that? You know, what can we do?
Yeah, I think it's a great topic. Yeah, mm-hmm. Ironically, for a lot of people, I mean, of course, everybody wants to be joyful at this time of the year. But, you know, you and I and other people have understood that around holidays, sometimes we lose loved ones. And the holiday becomes a reminder of that loss rather than a joyful time. It does become a reminder of things. So, it's not always a joyful time. People have difficulties in their family. Sometimes people get sick around the holidays. But, you know, we want to focus on the positive. But at the same time, we need to help people through these times when maybe they're not quite as joyful as they would like to be.
Exactly, Nick. You know, I am actually one of those people that that have lost loved ones. My father died the week of Thanksgiving, and my mother died on Christmas Day, and father-in-law the day after. And it's just, it now for the rest of my life will always be a time that is a little bit more contemplative. It's not that it can't be joyous, but it's there's almost a sacredness and a reverence about it, because, as you so rightly said, a lot of people do choose to leave the earth at the holidays. I'm not quite sure why that is, but I think it has something to do with the reverence and the sanctity of the time. You know, but that is a fact that does happen. So I think it's important to acknowledge that and to, as you said, help people through and give them some ideas as to what they can do. But, you know, I think it's also, I find it very, very difficult. You know, I haven't watched TV in about 2.5 years, so I am really out of the media, the mainstream media loop. You choose alternative media because I feel it's more accurate. And, you know, just the bombardment, though, of the commercialism and the consumerism and the, you know, we're looking at Christmas decorations that sometimes at Halloween or before. And it's just, you know, the push to celebrate and to party and to buy gifts and to, you know, all these things. And really sometimes just for one day, it's not even viewed as a season, but it's just for one day. And then families get into conflicts or people don't see each other until the holidays. So it's a really, it's a very interesting time of year.
Yeah, you know, definitely. Think, people, well, you know, the holidays, people, we espouse that it's about spirit, the spirit of Christmas or the spirit of the holidays, the birth of Christ for those who are Christians and the energy surrounding all this. But really, when you think about it, the holidays pretty much emphasize what's dense, meaning material things and physical things, rather than that which we talk about many times, the spirit. You know, we're not denying the body or in any way or the material, but we do emphasize the spirit, and that's what it's supposed to be, I think, but that's not necessarily what happens. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think the whole spirituality of the season is pretty much lost in the commercialism. You know, and then you see, I don't know, I've seen lawn signs that say keep the Christ in Christmas. I mean, who took it out?
That's a good question, right?
Missed something in that. And there just seems to, especially this year, we're living in times where there seems to be more intolerance instead of more tolerance for people and their traditions and their religions, and there's such craziness going on in politics and just in this country and the world in general, and the media perpetuates it by, you know, with more fear and then people promising to save us, promising to make us feel safe. I mean, and for, in my opinion, all this stuff comes from within. So no matter what is going on the outside, I mean, I don't buy into all this fear and all this, you know, this damaging information, because I think I have a pretty good handle on who I am and what I, you know, what I'm to do here and what my purpose is. And so I don't even go there. But so many people are in such fear, and it makes me very sad, actually, you know, what happened in San Bernardino and everything like that. Just contribute.
Yeah. So, Joanna, when you think about it, you just asked the question, when did they take Christ out of Christmas? But look at how we represent the word Christmas. We say Xmas, right?
I know.
So if X doesn't mean to take something away, what does? I mean, and X means away from, in some sense. So, and we use a symbol that we all accept as if it's okay, but actually, it belies exactly what we were just saying, right? Xmas, we're going to take Christ out of Christmas. Well, that makes a whole lot of sense, right?
You know, it's so funny you mentioned that, because I have always rebelled against that. I'm never able to even write Xmas. I always have to write it out, you know, straight Christmas, because for exactly that reason. And, you know, when you even think about the time of year that it is, this is not a time for outward manifestation. This is a time of going within. You know, the darker, colder weather, if you watch what the animals are doing, they're hibernating. They're putting on a little fat on their bodies, you know, to hibernate and go within, go in their caves, go in their dens. And, you know, that's what we should be doing, eating warm, nurturing, what we call in Ayurveda, sattvic food. That's just more pure, and it's nourishing to the physiology and the psyche and the spirit. You know, more prayer, more meditation, more yoga, you know, is really what we should be doing, and really nurturing ourselves and thinking about, you know, what do I want? What do I really, really want? What seeds do I want to plant this coming spring? But now is the time to kind of till the earth and, you know, enrich, you know, enliven and make the soil rich for what we're going to plant, you know, in the coming months. Not a time of outward, outward, outward. That's why so many people get sick at this time of year, you know, with the flu and colds and things like that.
And it's interesting that you mentioned, you call it sattvic, S-A-T-V-I-C, energy? Is that what that is?
Sattvic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was interviewed a doctor recently from California. He's an holistic neurologist, and he specializes in treating headaches using Ayurveda and a number of other, like acupuncture, a number of other treatments and things like that. He's also a certified or board certified neurologist, so he's an MD. But he mentioned that you just mentioned there, and how we need to nurture ourselves or nourish ourselves in some way. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about this idea of what we can really do to nurture ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in Ayurveda, not only are there doshic times of the doshic people, you know, we all have a dosha or a constitutional type. We've talked about it many, many times, vata, pitta, and kapha. And so there's not only that we have an individual mind-body constitution, but there's also doshic parts of the lifespan, there's doshic parts of the day, and there's doshic times of the year. And so this is the vata time of the year, where it's colder and it's more windy and it's drier. And we notice that in our physiology because we notice our skin gets drier, our digestion might be a little bit delicate. And we don't want to really, if you really ask your body what it wants, we don't want to be eating cold salads and iced tea and things that are raw. We want to be eating more soups and stews and warm tea and hot chocolate and, you know, things like that to nurture our physiology. And if we really listen, those are the things that we should be doing. And also warm spices that will warm up the physiology as opposed to making it colder and protecting ourselves from the wind, you know, using a scarf and a hat and gloves and keeping our physiology warm so the body doesn't have to work so hard to keep it, to maintain our body temperature. So, you know, we can do that through food. We do it through lifestyle also in that we really get to bed by 10 o'clock at night and with lights out between 10 and 10:30 so that we get enough sleep and get enough rest. Because during that time is pitta time, and in the, you know, the hours between 10 and 2, where our body is detoxifying and healing. When we're not sleeping, our body can't do that work. It's busy, you know, processing when, you know, stuff when we're awake. So getting enough rest, enough sleep, taking time to meditate and to go within, both in the morning and in the late afternoon or the evening, whatever happens to work for you. But taking that time to go into air and space, into akasha, which is, you know, which makes up the vata dosha, and really, you know, connect with your spirit, connect with that part of you that is eternal and is the piece that you get to take with you when you leave. You don't get to take all the presents and all the, you know, all the stuff. It's your soul that you get to take. And this is the time to nurture that and to really, you know, as we move towards the winter solstice, we're moving towards the light. And that's really what the Christ consciousness is about. Whether you believe in you know, Christmas, or you are a Christian, or you celebrate or not, it's a Christ consciousness, which is the Buddha consciousness, is the Muslim consciousness. It's the same energy. It's the same oneness that we need to feel within ourselves and with each other and with the planet and the cosmos. So we're to be nurturing that connection. You know, that spiritually, and really focusing on that less than the physical. So, you know, those are just a couple things that we can do. And, you know, yoga is always a way to help us become more flexible, more strong, more balanced. And, you know, we want to be flexible in our thinking. What I was just talking about the politics and people just digging their heels in and saying such ridiculous things and promoting, you know, only one point of view, that's like the last thing we should be doing right now. And if we really get in touch with our spiritual sides, we know that that's the wrong thing to be doing, that we want to be moving towards oneness, not away from it.
So, Joanna, what about the idea? I know one of the things that you love to do, which I think is an expression of how you do love, is you like to cook. And
I
so
do.
I know. Yeah. And so the energy of cooking can be a gift in itself, like what you're thinking in terms of what we do for others around the holidays. You know, it's a spirit of giving, whether you're giving to yourself or giving to another. And I know for you, cooking is a way to represent this. So talk about, you know, energetic cooking, putting energy into the cooking that you do and using that love energy to you know, get that across to those people that we care about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, metaphysically, everything in the universe is energy. And so that goes for our food as well. So in Ayurveda, we make judgments about foods and the nourishment of food based on how much prana a food may have. So the fresher food is, the more prana or more life force that is going to have, which will be nourishing to the body. So if you take an apple, for example, that has been grown locally, like, you know, or right in your yard, and you pick it off the tree and you eat it, that is just loaded with life force, loaded with prana, because it's so fresh and it's local to your area and you're eating it. You want to consume it with love and appreciation and gratitude versus eating a dead animal that has been tortured and inhumanely slaughtered and then you know, and then prepared by an angry chef.
Doesn't sound very good, does it?
No, it doesn't. So
just a little bit of a difference there. Energetically, there's a slight difference,
right.
And I can see how you feel about these things, too.
Well, Well, you know, I am a vegetarian, and I eat fish maybe once or twice a month, and even that, I'm finding that I don't even want to do that. I'm completely and utterly disgusted by how animals are treated and how they're slaughtered. And the thing is, it's not even that it's necessarily wrong to use animals for food. It's just how it's done is just so egregious that it's heartbreaking. And we have to understand that we truly are what we eat. You know, the layerings that we talk about in Ayurveda is, you know, we're really DNA wrapped in food. And so we really are what we eat. So when an animal is tortured and animals do experience grief and fear and sadness, and they're watching their families be taken away from them or tortured as well, that's in their cells. That's in every cell of their body. And so when an animal is slaughtered, you know, you're eating that. You're actually eating that. And so if care is taken that the animals are treated well and they're free range and free to roam and they're eating good food, and then they're not slaughtered inhumanely, although I don't know how slaughter can be humane, you know, but that's a whole other conversation. But it is a different energy. You know, I can tell I give meat to my dog occasionally, and I can tell the difference. I really can feel the energy of it, you know, when meat has a very negative energy to it versus a gentler energy to it. And I always bless it and pray over it and just thank it for the sacrifice it made so that my dog can have that food. And we should all do that and have a reverence for food. But I think when you're cooking it, it should be with a sense of love and gratitude for the earth that, you know, that created this, that, you know, gave the space for that food to be grown, the farmers that nurtured the soil and the food, and that we get to ingest it. And when you're having food in that context and in a quiet, settled environment where it's nurturing to you also, that can make all the difference. So it's not only the food we eat, but the environment in which we eat it that can make a difference.
One of the things that you alluded to earlier and that I think is a good thing for us to talk about is around the holidays, people get invited to do so many different things. And many times you may not necessarily really be up to doing that, but because of either a sense of guilt or a sense of obligation, people will say yes to something when they actually mean no. So how do we resolve a conflict like that, and how do you choose what you believe is in your own best interest without feeling that it's a selfish action in some way?
Yeah, I think that goes back to the point about going within and making lifestyle choices and any choices really that are for your highest good. And if it's for your highest good, it's really for the highest good of all involved. You know, we don't need to feel guilty about saying no to things we might not really want to do, because when we're doing things out of obligation, there's a negative energy around it. You know, the energy isn't pure. It's kind of like when you're you know, if you're giving a gift or you're giving money to somebody and you have a resentment towards it, or you have an expectation of what you're going to get in return, that decreases the purity of the giving. You know what I mean? So saying yes to something you really don't want to do, I don't think does anybody any favors. If you're existing in a party or in a family gathering or whatever and you really don't want to be there, what is your contribution going to be anyway to the, you know, to the whole event? And I don't think it's wrong to just, and you could do it gracefully. It doesn't have to be done in anger or nastiness or anything like that. It can be, you know, over the last 3 years, I've said no to many social obligations because my focus has been inward. And I didn't want the stimulation. I didn't want the energy. And then your true friends and family, you know, just, you know, need to understand that. And if they don't, then that kind of becomes their issue to resolve. You know, again, it's more about the inside than it is about the outside. What do you think about it, about that?
Well, I mean, we talk a lot about authenticity. And when you're not authentic, either being authentic to someone else or being authentic to yourself, you're in conflict. And that conflict, I believe, on some level, creates a tension or a negative energy. And as you said, I mean, if you go to a party or you go to a gathering or something and you really don't want to be there, you're actually adding a negative energy to the gathering. You're taking something away from it. Although you're physically present, you're not emotionally or spiritually present for that. So if the intention was to be part of something that you're going to grow from and you go there out of obligation, you're not going to grow. And perhaps on some level, energetically, we may pull down the whole group as a result of our negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I think, oh, yeah. I love how you said that, too, because, you know, you used the word presence. And I think at a time of giving presence, I think
right.
the greatest gift that we can give to someone is our presence, you know, and no matter what the situation is, you know, just being present with somebody. And obligation, really, there's no place for obligation when you're being truly present. You know, obligation has no place. But, you know, there are lots of, you know, lots of things going on, lots of events, lots of things to do. And, you know, you have family and obligations and, I mean,
sure.
I hesitated to use that word obligation. So how do you manage it? Like, what would you suggest to our listeners to, see, I don't have a lot of family. My
uh-huh.
spiritual family are my friends. And, so I'm invited different places and you know, there's definitely lots of options for me, but you know, you do have a family. How do you manage?
Yeah.
Manage all the things to do.
Well, I think a lot of it, I mean, when a person's family is really close to each other and they have a connection with each other and there is no enmity going on and, you know, there is truly perceived as well as real love that you have there, then I don't think it doesn't become an issue, because those who love you will understand if you decide that you can't be part of something. And those that
mm-hmm.
you love, you will do the same thing for them and understand in their circumstances. So now if somebody's in a,
mm-hmm.
a situation, and many people do this, you know, they don't necessarily have closeness in their families. They might want that, but they don't necessarily have that. Then it becomes more difficult. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, then people, I think, do feel a sense of obligation, but then they resent that they've said yes to that. So the better thing is to find a way to you know, to manage the circumstances in a way that is actually beneficial for you as well as the other person. And I think, you know, a word that we should use more often, and even though we all know this, is being honest. I mean, really, if you can't be honest
mm-hmm.
with the people that you know or love, then what's left for us? And if you
mm-hmm.
are honest, then I think people can respect and honor, you know, the differences between you and them. So I think it's easier if you have a family where people really get along a lot, or they look forward
mm-hmm.
to getting together as often as they can. It's more difficult when you
mm-hmm.
don't have that type of a family. And then I think if you don't
right.
have a broad-based family, that's a whole other issue, which is what you were just talking about, you know. I think our
mm-hmm.
biggest thing is to be sensitive and compassionate to all the variations of the theme, and I think that works best if we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love what you just said about that too. It's sensitive and compassion. Boy, those are two things that can be greatly lacking. And
yeah, they
you
are.
Know, we get so caught up in our own agendas and the way we think things need to be, or what has to happen here or there or what everywhere. And if we can just be in the present moment, you know, what that all does is create a lot of mind chatter. You know, we have 70,000 to 80,000 thoughts a day. Most of them are not productive. So, you know, worrying about the future and having anxiety and a lot of mind chatter about the future, you know, creates exactly that, a lot of anxiety, insomnia, depression even. And then, you know, ruminating about the past is what, you know, keeps us stuck. It keeps us holding grudges. You know, we don't want to forgive. We want to, you know, stay stuck in our viewpoint. And what are we mostly arguing over but viewpoint?
Right.
You know, it's you know, and that is just what it is. It's just a viewpoint, and yet, you know, people kill people over viewpoint, and it's just so unfortunate. And unfortunately, we're seeing it more and more, you know, with the craziness that we're experiencing now. So, any other
one of the things
that
I wanted to say? What I'd like to say is, we have so many symbols at this time of the year, whether it's Hanukkah, you know, the celebration of the oil and the lights, or it's Christmas, we have symbols everywhere that express the idea of light, and so sometimes we can get joy from just those things. You know, the
mm-hmm.
idea of bah humbug, that it's drudgery to do these things, needs to go away. I mean, I think. Joy many times, Joanna, is a choice, isn't it? We can choose to be
Absolutely.
Joyful or we can choose to be not joyful, but I think it is
mm-hmm.
a choice. And mm-hmm. you know, what better time of the year than to think in terms of making a change in your life to bring joy into your life, not only for yourself but also for those around you, especially mm-hmm. with the symbols of the birth of Christ, with the Hanukkah, with all the symbols of this time of the year. What better time than to bring light into your life when there's a time of the year when it emphasizes mm-hmm. that part?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. It is a time of the light and joy. Joy is a choice. You know, and if you're not feeling joyful, then, you know, try to do some things for yourself that are more right. nurturing, more loving. Treat yourself gently. Do some self-care. You know, in Ayurveda, we have the oil massage that we do. Or go get a massage. Do something nice for yourself. And if you can't go get a massage, you know, you can do it on yourself. Take a warm bath. Drink, you know, a cup of hot chocolate, you know, sit by the fire, read inspirational material, things that are uplifting, turn off the TV, you know, these are all things that you can do. And, you know, understanding that the job, you know, to be done is always within. And, you know, we live in a world that's, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, as well as being bombarded with all the commercialism and the consumerism. And, you know, do we have a choice in how much we are affected by that? And I believe that we do. We do not have to, you know, to succumb to that kind of pressure. That is also a choice. You know, just because we're being bombarded by messages, you know, with the media, from the media and from the ads on TV and in print and all the catalogs, my God, that come in the mail. You know, it's just insanity.
Yeah.
And but it's our choice whether or not we abide by it. You know, I've had many people say, well, I don't have a choice. That, you know, this is just the way, these are the expectations of the society. It's just like it's an expectation that we are on instant messaging all the time, that we have to answer a text and an email immediately, and that we have to be available 24/7. I don't abide by that, and that's my choice. But
yeah.
And whatever anybody has to say about it, I hate to say it this way, but I don't really care, because it's like this is how I have to live my life in order to keep peace of mind and keep myself balanced and centered so that I can do the best work in the world that I can do. You know, that's my concern.
Well, and I think when we think of gifts, a gift is supposed to be a representation of love, and a gift should be freely given. Not, well, you know, what do you want? What do you need for Christmas? I'll certainly get it for you. I mean, it should be something that is freely given from one
right.
heart to another. That's the way I see
exactly.
it. I mean, if we look at Christ as an example, he was a gift to the world, the light of the world. You know, we think of the three magi, the wise men,
mm-hmm.
the star that guided them, that was a star of light. I mean,
right.
we can see all these things and either pass them by, or we can actually look at them and take heart, as you like to use the word, and make it a part of our lives and really bring the joy to the people that we're around and to our own lives. It enhances your life if you give
mm-hmm.
a gift of love or a gift of the heart without feeling obligated to do that.
That's so well said. And, you know, those are the gifts that really last. You know, I think people, you know, appreciate things that they're given, but it's really how that gift made you feel. You know, I got a precious gift from a yoga student the other day. It was just so unexpected. And it was something just so perfect for me. It was elephant, you know, it had to do with elephants. But what I really embraced about that was that she thought of me. And that
mm-hmm.
and that feeling and that remembrance is going to be with me forever, long
sure.
after that thing goes away. You know, if it gets lost or if something happens to it, I'm going to remember that she thought of me and thought to give me that gift. It's how that gift made me feel. It's not the thing itself necessarily, but the thoughtfulness. And like you said, love is the greatest gift, and that's really what we need to be spreading. That compassion, understanding, unity, presence, all these wonderful things that you know, that we can do to make each other feel good about being on this planet with each other and within ourselves. So, well, as usual, the time went by so fast. We have about a minute and a half, Nick. I don't know how it goes
yeah.
by so fast.
It does. It always does, because it's always great conversation. And, you know, I always, there's one of my favorite lines is from the book called The Little Prince, where it says that one can only see well with the heart, and because what is essential is invisible to the eyes. And so I think if I could leave any message for our listeners and those who have listened to us all year long, I know this is our last show for this year. I want to thank everybody who did listen in to us and connected with us throughout the year. And I wish everybody, you know, the happiest, the merriest, and the best of whatever the holidays bring to them. And Joanna, the same for you, too. I appreciate the relationship that we have and how we share these thoughts and ideas together. It's always meant a whole lot to me.
Yeah, well, you as well, Nick. I appreciate you in my life so much. I mean, we're not only professional colleagues, we're great friends, and sure. I know that I can always depend on you, and doing these shows has been such a gift to do them with you. We just have such a great chemistry together, and we really enjoy bringing these shows to our audience. And to our audience, thank you for listening to us. Thank you for your support and caring about what we're doing and your encouragement. We so appreciate you. And you can always find us on www.thekalyanacenter.com or my website, drjoannacarmichael.com. And, you know, we'll look forward to talking with you in 2016. Thanks for listening, everybody. Happy holidays. And to you, Nick, much love and light.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.